For the weeks between now and Pentecost Sunday, which is June 9th, we will be preaching on passages from the book of Acts that show the disciples in action demonstrating characteristics of what it means to be what I would call Easter people, people whose lives reflect the love and the power of the resurrected Christ. To set today's passage from Acts in context, Peter and John and the rest of the disciples have healed a man in Jesus' name. They've been warned not to speak in Jesus' name again, but they've gone ahead and done so anyway, and for that they were thrown in jail. But the jail somehow opened, echoing the tomb experience of Jesus, and they were set free. But they were apprehended and brought before the council again. Listen for what they are told and for the bold answer that these men provide. When they had brought them, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in his name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, so that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our rock and our redeemer. And may the gospel be more to us than mere words. May your Holy Spirit produce in us strong conviction. Amen. In churches across Christendom this morning, on what is known as Low Sunday, associate pastors and visiting preachers, and sometimes even the pastor who preached the Sunday before, will climb into pulpits to take on the assigned gospel text for today, the one I didn't read. You're likely familiar with it. It begins on Easter Sunday evening with the disciples huddled in an upper room behind a locked door, trembling in fear of the religious authorities who had arranged to have Jesus crucified by the Romans. And Jesus somehow passes through a locked door to get to them. He breathes on them and tells them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The passage continues with the next Sunday night, with those same disciples in that same upper room, huddled behind those same locked doors, presumably dealing with the same fear. This time, Thomas was there. Thomas, who hadn't been there with them the week before and didn't take the other disciples' word for it, who can blame him, demanded to have the same experience of seeing that they had before he believed that Jesus was risen from the dead, to the point of actually saying, "I need to see the marks of the nails in his hands, and I need to place my hand in his side before I believe." Jesus shows up and gives Thomas what he needs and tells him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet somehow still believe." So today, there will be sermons about doubting Thomas and looking for evidence of the risen Christ, sermons that defend him for being insistent enough to ask for what he needed, and sermons that address the important role that doubt can play in faith. Frederick Buechner calls doubts the ants in the pants of faith that keep it awake and moving. I like that, and I'll grant it. I have absolutely no quarrel with the existence of doubts. Indeed, last Sunday, Easter Sunday, for God's sake, we talked about how the resurrection, how resurrection faith gets lived out, not beyond the shadow of a doubt, but within it. And I have to tell you that it always feels a little bit like going to Thomas and doubt and the disciples in the upper room cowering take some wind out of the sails on the Sunday after Easter. I mean, we have sublime and stirring Easter services with brass and timpani and organ and choir and full voice, and a week later we're carefully hedging our bets. Well, yes, Easter was grand and glorious and all, but you know, for thinking people like us, yeah, it's kind of hard to believe. When interests me more than the existence of doubt today is the persistence of faith and how those timid, unbelieving disciples who were cowering in an upper room, not just before Jesus came and breathed on them, but also a week later, somehow become transformed into the bold believers we meet in today's text from Acts. The sorts of fearless people who, even though they've been strictly forbidden not to teach in Jesus' name, get out there and do it anyway. I mean, they are hardly recognizable as the same people who denied and deserted Jesus in his hour of need, the same people who regularly missed the point of his teachings about self-giving love, the same people who repeatedly failed to trust in God's provision. They're hardly recognizable as those same people. What a contrast between those guys and the guys we meet today, who, having been warned under penalty of imprisonment and death not to speak or act in Jesus' name, go ahead and do it anyway. What changed? What changed between the time we saw them in the upper room behind locked doors and the time we see them today boldly standing before the council, unashamed to speak the truth that they know in their guts? The easy answer is to say, well, Pentecost happened, and the Spirit was poured out on them, and they actually received it and said their yes to God rather than just sort of letting it wash over them. But to put it another way, I like to think that it just took a little while for Easter to sink in. If the message of Easter is that Jesus' resurrection shows that God's love is stronger than death and sin and evil, stronger than what separates us from God and one another, stronger than fear and anger and hatred, well, it makes sense that it might take a little time for Easter to sink in. In more than one area of my life, it has taken me a while to be bold enough to stand for the courage of my convictions. Take, for example, my conviction about the expansiveness of God's love and welcome. Seeds of that were planted as early as the home in which I grew up. And they were nurtured through listening to sermons in the congregation where I was confirmed, and the congregations I attended in college and in seminary. They were watered through reading and studying texts more deeply in seminary and in my first two congregations. However, it was only after being in the Garden of Gethsemane in January of 2006 and praying, "Not my will, but yours be done," that I heard a voice within me and somehow also beyond me saying, "Aaron, teach love. Whatever you do, teach love. No matter the resistance, no matter the opposition, teach love. It was only after that experience that I started to more fully trust and live into God's love and radically inclusive welcome. So when Brian and Christian asked me to conduct their wedding ceremony several years ago, I said yes, with, quite honestly, just a little bit of fear, given that I knew that there were people in our denomination, at least, who would not approve, and that indeed our stance at the General Assembly had not yet fully changed. But write this down, this is a good one. Courage is fear that has said its prayers. And the reward for that day was taking part in their joy and literally seeing a rainbow in the sky on a cloudless, rainless day. And then later, our PCUSA Book of Order changed, catching up with what I already knew was right. It was with no hesitation whatsoever that I and 9 other clergy, including Susan and Katie, celebrated Billy and Stephen's wedding here yesterday. It was one of the most profoundly moving wedding experiences I've ever been a part of, and I have officiated at nearly 200 weddings. The true testimony to the Easter power of God at work in the world. Sometimes it takes a little while for Easter to sink in. But when it does, when you get it, that God is in the business of bringing life out of death and hope out of despair and full inclusion out of exclusion, you find yourself acting boldly in Jesus' name. And when someone asks you not to speak about it, your response might just be the apostle's response. I must obey God rather than any human authority or longstanding tradition or the way somebody somewhere told me the Bible ought to be read. Because I read it through the eyes of the resurrected Christ. The world needs our Easter boldness, friends. In a world of religious violence where Christians are bombed 1 week in Sri Lanka and Jews are shot and killed in a synagogue the next week in California and Muslims were massacred in New Zealand and there is still too much hate that goes on in the name of religion, the world needs us to stand up and say, the power of love and welcome for all is stronger than what seeks to divide us. A friend of mine in Judas, who is a pastor in Colombo, Sri Lanka, posted something the other day about how the small Muslim minority in that country has come out vocally against the actions of a small band of radicalized youth and declared a fast and said that there will be space made in their mosques until churches are rebuilt for Christians to pray. Yesterday, I read a piece that Paul Rauschenbusch, who was sort of related to this congregation because he's the brother of Lorraine Busey. He works at Auburn Seminary. He wrote these words. Praying in front of the Chelsea Jewish Community Center in New York City for all of those injured and dead in San Diego as a result of the anti-Semitic hate-filled attack. Feeling so sad and angry that my Jewish friends and family have to feel terrorized even when they pray just for being who they are. We have to stop this hate that is killing us. We have to stop this deadly blend of nationalism and racism and bigotry that targets minority people around the world. Stop, he said. Take a moment to reflect on what is happening and what each of us must do to stand in solidarity together. I'm sending love to all of you, he said, and to all those who weep this evening. God, help me understand how my life might be used to promote love and to challenge hate wherever I might encounter it. That is work that we do. It's not about our opinions. It's about how we live and treat those around us, including people with whom we do not see eye to eye. The world needs our Easter boldness. So I'm glad we're going to be hearing just briefly about the trip 9 of our Emmanuelites took down to Cuba during Holy Week and the bonds of fellowship and understanding that were formed between people at First Presbyterian in Havana and our own delegation, which included members of 2 other churches at least. Sometimes it takes a while for Easter to sink in. So 2 quick short stories from the reception last night. How's this for fresh material? The first, I was out on the dance floor, as I am wont to be, and I walked over to get a Diet Coke. And Christian saw me and he said, I just love your energy. I love that positive energy, how you just get out there and dance. You don't care what people think. You just dance. I think what Christian was trying to say is that I'm bold. Second story. We were seated at a table, a number of us. Judith was there. And Judith told a story about how on her 45th birthday, she really wanted to go to the National Book Festival. And it was a Sunday, and there was stuff that was going on at the church in the morning, and it took a while for her to get done with church, and then she piled our 2 girls into the car with her, and they were younger, they were sort of preteens. They really didn't want to go. And she's heading down in the minivan, and they're just lamenting about going to the National Book Festival. And she said, I think that's when my life changed a little bit. She said, they whined and moaned about not going to the National Book Festival, and I turned the van around, and I said, I'm 45 years old, and I don't get to decide what I get to do on my birthday. She realized then there was choice. Boldness is a choice. It's an empowered choice, but it is a choice. The world, the broken, hurting, divided world, needs our boldness. In Jesus' name, amen.